This is December 7th. I'm speaking with Violet McCarthy on the Depression. First, Ms. McCarthy, how old were you when the Depression began? And what is a little bit of background on the Depression?
Well, Jennifer, I was very young when the Depression came. I was 19. And, of course, it began when they had the stock market crash in 1929. And in May of 1931, there was a credit crunch that caused international bankruptcies and unemployment. There was about 12 million jobless in the United States by 1932. And worldwide trade was affected by tariffs and strikes. And it was just a general upheaval in everything. Now, when the stock market crash came, people who lost all their money in that, we remembered in the hearing in the news about people jumping out of upstairs windows and taking their own lives because they'd lost all their money and everything. That's the way some of them made it there. But when we heard the news at first, we didn't think so very much about it because we didn't realize just how the extent of what a calamity it was going to be for the whole nation. But eventually it became aware in our area that times were getting gradually worse. We didn't have that complete shock of it all of a sudden. It sort of gradually went into it. At first, as I said, I was a young married lady, so it was a challenge to me in two ways. I had to be learn the adjustment of being a housewife and learning to cook. I didn't even know how to cook. I was the only girl in the family and spoiled. So there's quite a bit of adjustment for me to make to that. And then here came this depression. So it was a big challenge, and the company that my husband, the plant he worked for, was closed down at this time, which put an awful lot of people out of work. So, but I want you to know that through this time, I was never afraid. It was just not such a change that I couldn't meet it.
How did your life change during this era?
My life, as I said, had already begun to change because I was newly married and having to learn all about a family life and how to deal with the problems that you find there. But mainly, it didn't change so much in other ways because in our little community, we all lived on about the same level. And economically, we had the same problems. And so the biggest change came in fact that we were without a job, as many others were.
What were some of the ways that you had to cut back?
Well, losing a job meant less money, of course. But there again, our standard of living was good, but we were newly married, and we were already on a budget of trying to save and prepare for the future. So in this manner, we had to cut back a great deal. We didn't buy as many clothes, but we certainly didn't go without food and the essentials that we had to have. But we also had to cut back on something else that was a drastic change for us. Had to deal that dealt with money, and that was we had bought some land, and we of course could not meet the notes as they came due, so we had to cash in a 20-year policy to pay off this this property, and we never were able to reinstate ourselves in that policy, so we lost a good deal of money in that, because at a 20-year length of time we could have cashed in for the full amount plus interest. But anyway, it saved our property. So we cut back in other ways, in travel and vacations and all were not considered so necessary then. And in general, our lifestyle toned down a good deal.
When your husband lost his job, how did he provide for you and your family?
Well, there again, I had great confidence. My husband was 10 years older than me. And I felt like that he could meet any emergency and see us through it. And I felt perfectly safe about it in that way. So I didn't go into this with any kind of fear at all, just faith and confidence. But the way he provided was that we were fortunate enough to have some property that could be cultivated. And so we had to move back to Burke from Dimebaugh, where we were living while he was working. And so we moved back to our home in Burke. And we had this property which he shared with others who were out of work. And they produced vegetables and for canning and for our own food, and raised grain for the stock. So we had plenty of meat of all kinds. We canned meat and vegetables for the future. And besides that, we had some timber on this little property. So he and a friend who was out of work got together and cut firewood and sold it to people who were working and needed it. At that time, firewood was very important. And so that was another means of support. And it just really boiled down to people being able and willing to work. It wasn't that we were so deprived of food and the essentials, you know, for life, but some people were more energetic than others, and it happened that we had the property, so, and the will to work, and so we just went happily on our way, providing.
In what ways were the community involved?
We banded together, as you find in most calamities of any kind. People learn that they love their neighbors more and they want to help each other. And so that particular thing happened in this community because people worked together. And not only that, the government supplied a lot of help for people in communities to work together. For instance, the home demonstration and the county agent worked together, and they installed a little canning house here, and it was labeled the cannery. People bought their produce there, and they had large steam, big pressure cookers, and the government provided teachers there to show people how to use these cookers safely and can their vegetables. They raised a lot of tomatoes during this time, and so that was one of the main things that was canned. And then the home demonstration clubs taught people more about how to use their time in home improvement and in cooking and saving in so many different ways, and in sewing. And of course the men were provided with information about raising different crops that they had not tried before. And in general, the community banded together and met this in, I think, just a great way, and the fellowship was just wonderful.
Do you feel that you were fortunate to be living in a small community than you would be in a large community, and how?
I feel that being in a small community, in a small area like this, I more than likely was prepared more to meet an emergency of this kind than if I had been living in a city, because as I said, our standard of living did not change that much, because we just all about, everybody had about the same. And we were not used to so much to begin with. So there was not a great deal of change in that manner, because it didn't change that much.
Tell me about some of the social life in the community at that time.
The social life, actually the church and the school was more or less the hub of our social activities, and as it had always been. But young people got together in the homes, and there was some square dancing, and there was music, country music style, and we still met in homes and had little get-togethers that we label a singing. We get together and sing. Then we had little 42 parties, and we played cards too. We listened to the radio, we read books, and I guess it was just about the typical type of entertainment that you'd think about in that, you wouldn't know it by now, but the type of entertainment you have, but in that time it was pretty typical, I guess, in most communities. But the church and the school was still the main place to get together, and where social life really occurred. And that's what people were so interested in, activities that pertain to school or church, you know. But there was also other things. We had little parties, but mainly people worked so hard. There was just not all that much free time. But it seemed like that the work at that time turned out to be a social affair almost, because people got together and visited while they were working. And oh, they had quilting parties and just so many things that I'm sure I've forgotten a good deal of it. As I say, I was young in all this because I had been spoiled at home, so I didn't know how to do a lot of things. It was a great learning process for me and prepared me so much for the future.
What newspaper headlines brought concern to everyone in the community?
Well, in general, I'd say that the news, this particular news shocked the nation. Now, you wouldn't know about it, but I know that you know of Charles Lindbergh and his great flights and all. But at this time, their baby was kidnapped. That was in 1932, and it just shocked the whole nation. It was something so tragic. Probably now we hear of kidnapping so often that you couldn't imagine that how that was at that time, how shocking it was. Today we hear it and we have compassion and all, but as far as it being a shock, we hear it so often it's almost commonplace, kidnappings and things of that nature. But this baby was kidnapped and was found dead. So that was quite a bit of news that the nation shared together and that I particularly remember.
Can you think of any other event in your life that has changed or that would seem different from anything you normally expect?
Well, I might like to comment on the fact that my first baby was born in the home, was not in a hospital. And that wasn't so unusual at that time, but it's something I remember and really cherish, because it was an unusual event, of course, but the fact that it could be taken care of at home and all taught me a great deal about the stamina of a mother and the strength she has to meet these things and how she can cope with her loved ones around her to give her support. So I felt like that was one event in my life that was very outstanding.
How did the Depression prepare you for your future life and your family?
The fact that I was a spoiled child at home meant that I was sheltered. I was very sheltered and protected, but I was taught all the good basic principles of good character and life that would be the right kind, Christian, and a life dedicated in that way at home. I didn't realize it at the time, just how much this meant, you know, would mean to me later on in life, because I was a kiddo growing up, and that's, youth doesn't always see those things. But when these challenges of the Depression came in my married life, new married life and everything, all the principles that I had been taught in my home began to come to mind and exert the kind of foundation I needed to cope with these things. So naturally, the Depression only impressed me more and more about the real values in life. And in that manner, I certainly established it in my home, my husband and I did, and tried to instill in our children what life really means and the things that are more important. And I think the Depression certainly, I know one thing it did for me at that time. It turned me into a very mature young woman, and a grown-up that could meet things better. And so as many things that happen in our lives that seem at the time to be so drastic and so bad, if we have been brought up in the manner to take life as it comes and do the best we can with it, we usually, and a lot of times, can see the things that look so bad at one time work together for good, as the Bible says, to those that love the Lord. And so that was a basic in my life and has been ever since. And many things have happened since then that were a lot worse than the Depression. But the Depression is noted for being referred to as such a bad time in life. But I can truthfully say it was one of the happiest times of my life. And it wasn't all that bad. But it was for many people who had maybe less to do with. We were fortunate in many ways. And fortunate in the fact that we knew how to work. My husband had always been a good provider. So that part didn't change. And we weathered it very well with the help of the good Lord and friends and loved ones. And so many all around us did the same way. So it was a community of people who got together and met these problems and mastered them and came out of it a little better than when they entered it, I think.
You've lived in this community many generations. Do you feel if there were another depression, this community would be able to handle it?
Well, I've lived in this community a long time. It's true, I'm a native. But I have lived in the city some, too, after my husband had to retire. And we enjoyed it there, and city life was a lot different. And we made a lot of new friends, and we saw and enjoyed some of the opportunities that city life provide. But we're awfully glad to get back to our own little community. And yes, I think that it would be, I think we've had some, what they call recessions, that have shown that people have not been able to cope with it as well. And it's been due to a number of things. The standard of living is so different. For people who are young now, it would be awfully difficult for them to go into a real depression. I pray we'll never have anything of that nature, because the world is not geared up to stand it and cope with it as it was in my time when we did. But it's I still have a great deal of confidence in the American people. I think that whatever the situation, the majority will always arise to it and come out winners. So I think that I think my greatest concern is for young people who have never known what it is to be without anything, you know, and that's the fault of we adults and parents, because we, so many parents have said, you know, I don't want my children to be deprived of the things that I was deprived of when I was small. So then they shower them with all of the extras and the expensive things and things that do not really count, that they don't find out about until something does happen, you know, that makes them stop and think about the real values in life.